עוד יותר, יוצרי התוכן של ישראל.
Hey guys, welcome to the Lehman TLB podcast. I'm here with Margo and Matan. Margo, we're so excited to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
If you live in Israel, slash if you're a Jewish person living outside of Israel, you 100% know who Margo Explains It All is. Otherwise known by her stage name, Margo Explains It All.
Margo Explains It All. That's what we try to do.
That's what we try to do. Margo, so give us a quick intro, first of all, on your Aliyah story, because you have a very special one also.
Yeah.
And how you got into content creation and everything.
Yeah, so my name is Margo Tuito. I made Aliyah in 2012 when I was 24. And that was 12 years ago now. It's hard to believe. And I made Aliyah from Denver, Colorado.
Which is super niche.
Yeah.
You don't hear a lot of Aliyah from Denver, Colorado.
Not a lot of us. A lot of the Jews I know from Denver, I met here, actually. And yeah, I grew up in a mixed faith family. So I have a lot of different backgrounds and influences in my life. My dad was born here in Israel. And that was the basis, the base of me wanting to come to Israel. I was always taught about Zionism and Israel, and I'm glad I made the decision when I did, because I always felt like I wanted to choose to come to Israel, and I never wanted it to feel like something I would have to flee towards, which I think, unfortunately, a lot of Jews around the world are kind of feeling that way now. So I wanted to make the choice when I was super young and had tons of energy. I still do, but yeah, and I'm happy to be here. So
yay. Yeah. So tell us how you got into content creation, because if you're on social media, whether it's Instagram or TikTok, you have definitely, whether you're a guy or a girl, you have definitely seen Margo's content. She has a few infamous ones, I would say. Which one is the most? Tomer one?
Yeah. So I started my podcast, Kiss in Tel Aviv, in 2019, right before the pandemic started, right at the end of 2019. And all of a sudden, the idea of Tomer came into my mind, and it was sort of the generic Israeli guy name. Sorry if you're listening to this and your name is Tomer, but it worked. And I just kept repeating it and repeating it over and over, and it caught on.
But why Tomer? I always wondered, why Tomer? Why not like Matan, for example?
It's not a very common name.
Matan isn't?
No. Also, like, Matan has substance. It has mean. I don't know. I'm sorry, but like, Tomer was just.
No, Tomer, I get why it's very generic. I kind of get that.
Yeah, it's okay, Chad, Mike, Brad. Yeah. Again, sorry.
It's the Israeli Mike. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank you. So I kind of noticed that, especially through swiping and whatnot. And Tomer kind of became a bit that I started using on the podcast to just sort of describe the, you know, of it all. And yeah, so that started. And then in 2020, like a lot of us, I started making content online, short form content on TikTok. And then eventually Reels came around and it caught on. And it was really fun to share relatable experiences that we were all having about dating and cultural differences and all of the wonderful and crazy things that happen when we're dating in this place we call home.
So it's interesting because I feel like us a lot, we have one perspective on dating here, and then like based on the Israeli guys, and the Israeli guys have a different perspective on dating a lot. So we're going to kind of hash that out today.
Okay.
But first of all, I wanted to ask you what you think the biggest difference is between Israeli guys and American guys.
That's a wonderful question. I actually just did a podcast episode about it. Shameless plug. You can go check it out on Kiss in Tel Aviv. But I think the biggest difference that has to be mentioned, and it's obvious, but not for the obvious reasons, is definitely the military influence of it all. And one of the things that I do point out, I think a lot of particularly North American or American women come to Israel and they think, oh, he did the army, so he's going to be a mature and amazing guy who's seen it all, and that's not always the case. I think the military is a huge difference between the two cultures, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna experience the maturation can definitely occur in the army, especially nowadays. But I think we sometimes overestimate the amount of maturity that the army lends to some extent. So yeah,
serving in the army, what can you say about this?
I think it's pretty much true. I think American guys, from my experience in the, you know, in Birthright, they let I think they're way less mature than Israeli guys. Now, American girls, they take it too far. They take it too far. They think because you had 3 years in the army, you're like her dad now.
Baby. It's not, daddy.
Yeah, it's not the case at all. But it is. It gives you a lot of maturity, a lot of, you know, tools for life. But you don't have to like exaggerate with because we're used to it. So
yeah, I also think what's interesting about it is it changes the way that. And this is another thing that people kind of overlook is the partying aspect of it all. Yeah. While Josh is in the ZBT basement.
Love Josh.
Yeah, doing keg stands, looking for his jewel. You know, Tomer was, say whatever we want about Tomer, but he was doing a lot of different stuff. You're depending right. on his role in the army. Now, not every dude does combat either. And I think a lot of us forget that. Not every dude is a combat soldier. But, and then, so, you know, you have the army experience and then school after that, after travel. So Israeli guys start partying maybe if they're going to have a party phase a lot later than American guys. So that's also an interesting thing that I think we see, particularly in Tel Aviv. People start their party phase kind of 100%. Later.
100%.
So, yeah.
So Matan, we asked Margo, what's the difference between Israeli guys and American guys to you? Mm. What's the difference between American girls and Israeli girls? Biggest difference. Biggest.
They're not as exhausting as Israeli girls.
Voilà.
100%.
Shocker.
I find myself exhausted. Maybe that's just me.
You can be exhausting in America and doesn't, you know, it doesn't mutually exclusive, but I think in comparison to Israeli girls and what they expect, which sometimes is just like, it's like too much. Like I have no problem, you know, going on dates and whatever and do everything you need me to do as the guy in the relationship. No problem. That's how I was raised. But sometimes it's just too much. And they're
like
very,
they expect too much?
Expect too much and they're very light on the appreciation part.
Okay.
Like American girls are too heavy on the appreciation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you paid for me? Yes. Like you don't have to make a scene. You know what I mean? Like we kind of used
Thank
to it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, oh my God, I can't believe you're taking me home. Of course, like I picked you up. I'll bring you back home. Like I won't, you know?
Yeah.
So the thing is that Israeli girls, what Israeli girls expect... American girls appreciate.
I think also, ladies, if you're listening to this, it's kind of like that rule where you go somewhere fancy or you meet a celebrity, let's say, act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
You know, don't act like it's the first time a True. Guy has paid for your meal or given you a ride home or whatever it might be. Act like you deserve it. It doesn't need to be.
Yeah, still appreciate.
Thing.
The yes. appreciation is nice. Don't yeah. be a bitch about it. Nobody owes you anything. But like... You know, just like it's nice to be. I think Israeli girls have a lot to learn from American girls.
And I think the opposite is also
and
true.
And also the other way around, 100%. Like I think the perfect girl for me is like the American girl, like, you know, grew up with like Israeli parents. You know,
Tom,
like,
just not confess you, your Noah, love to me. It's you, fine. You can Noah. Just confess.
No,
your
I love
to me.
Your mom too much to date you. So I can do that to your mom.
You've been the family.
Yeah, exactly. We're brother and sister at that point. It's
at
already
this point, yes. At this
yeah,
point, yes.
But like you know, like it's like how Israeli guys love Russian. Who are very Israeli. You know what I mean? They have the Russian look, but they have the Israeli persona. That's what we love. Because you don't like a hardcore Russian because they're very cold and very like, you know, they don't let their feelings out. But when she looks like she looks Russian, but she's an Israeli, that's the perfect combination for me. I don't know. I don't want to talk in the name of every guy. But for me, that's the perfect combination.
Yeah, I know. Matan, should we tell him?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I think it should be, you know, coming from
Let's
you.
Let's address the elephant in the room. Matan and I went on a date a while back.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I wanted to save it for the podcast.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I swear I had no idea. No one told me this.
Like
why didn't you?
4 years ago.
Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you?
I wanted to bring it onto the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. We saved it. We had an unwritten agreement to talk
See,
about it
maybe,
live.
Maybe they're really, okay.
Okay, I need to hear the story. Let's
I need to just say... This was what, 2021 maybe? 2020?
I think 2020.
It was like COVID time, yeah?
Yes, it was COVID
time. And we went to Googie's and we had a really good time.
We had a great time.
Yeah. I will be honest. I was in the throes of the most toxic situationship when we went out.
Oh, wow.
And I just could not see past that whole thing. Yeah. And I remember bringing...
I told myself you were a lesbian, but okay.
I mean, Russian girls are hot. But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You know what that's what you had to tell yourself. But I just thought that was fun.
So it was a good date, though. It was a good date.
I had a good date.
It was respectful. It was nice.
How'd you guys meet?
You slid into my
Instagram,
DMs.
Yeah.
Respect it.
Respectfully.
Respect the hustle. Respect the grind.
Yeah. I do remember, though, that I have this little litmus test that I bring up on dates. And I casually mention astrology. And you had a very visceral reaction, I remember.
Because disgusting and stupid.
And I was like, okay, this is something I'm really interested in. And disgusting and stupid. Know. So
if you have a hole in your life, you have to fill. Astrology will do it.
Or an Israeli guy. You know?
Or an Israeli guy.
Yeah.
There you go. Whatever. Nice.
Hopefully he's a Leo. I don't know. Hopefully not, actually. Fuck Matan. Jesus. The hell.
Oh my gosh. This is the best thing I've heard all day.
There you go. Surprise.
Here you guys went on a date. Wow.
She told me Margaret was coming and I was thinking about it and I was like,
Is that why you're in a grumpy mood today?
No. It's because I have a lot of stuff to do. No. It's because she told me and I was like, oh, okay. And then I thought about like telling her that we used to date. And I was like, if Margo didn't tell her, maybe we'll leave it for the podcast.
No, I was saving it for the hot mic.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, I was a...
Was he a gentleman? Did he bang?
Yes. And I was, again, I was in the throes of the toxic... It was bad. So I don't know if an apology is necessary, but I will say it's not an apology. It's not. I'm not saying I'm sorry.
We had one date.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. But I will say that was the interesting times that you met me in.
Yeah, me too. Actually, that was I was a lot heavier. Like to be completely honest, she didn't care at all.
Oh, I didn't even.
Am I sensing a second date?
That was really no, not at all. But she was really nice about it. I was in a very weird place about like my looks and my weight and everything, and she didn't care about it at all. And I was very sweet.
I didn't even recognize like that was a thing.
For me,
voila.
For me, that was a thing, and the fact that you didn't even, you know what I mean? Like that was very sweet. I still to this day really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Guys, this is so cute.
Here we are again.
So, Margo, what's your worst Israeli guy date story?
Oh, please.
This fucking guy, Matan Peres. Never go out with comedians.
Paid for me. But I was in a weird place. So
he trashed my astrology interest. No. There was the guy who admitted that he likes to have sex with prostitutes.
Oh.
And just felt that was an important thing for me to know.
On the date.
Full disclosure is important.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, I like schnitzel and I pay for sex. I'm like, okay.
I like schnitzel and prostitutes.
Yeah.
What's his name, Tomer?
I don't even fucking remember, but he definitely was a Tomer.
Okay.
That's a weird hobby to have.
Yeah. And then, look, here's the thing. I know you guys do your thing in Bucharest. It's the time of your life, et cetera, but I don't need to know about it.
That's true.
People have needs. Stuff happens. If it was legal, if it was consensual, if there was a transaction that took place, whatever. But I don't need to know about that.
Especially not on a date.
Yeah. But then I was like, fuck, did I just miss? Was he going to maybe pay me? Yeah. Should I just have cashed in? Like, just missed an opportunity. But, and then there was this guy. There's just one thing that I cannot handle. It's more than an ick. It's an absolute red flag. He asked me, what are your red flags? He slid into my DMs. We go to Teder. And he's like, what's your absolute red flag? And I was like, I just can't deal with homophobic guys. If you are homophobic, in my heart, I know that you're also misogynistic because it means that you probably don't like things that are inherently feminine. And later on in the date, he started saying really horrible things about gay people, about trans people. And I said to him, as we're eating our Teder pizza, I said, remember that red line that you mentioned at the beginning of the day that you asked for? You just crossed it. Thanks for the beer. Yala, I'm out. And I walked out of there.
Nice.
Oh, man. I just never look walk back. Out on dates. If it's not serving you, if somebody's being completely fucking disrespectful, or if you don't feel safe, you don't feel good, you don't feel respected, get the fuck out of there.
Absolutely. So, men and women.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Have you ever walked out on a
date? Yeah.
Okay.
Good for you.
Yeah. She deserved it.
I don't know.
Wait, is it what you spoke about last time with the date you went on where she got up, went to the bathroom, and then you found her?
That was the most horrible one. But there's one when I picked her up. I worked in like something for the army, whatever. from 6 in the morning to 3, and then I would go to the gym, and then I picked her up, and I was a little bit tired, but I didn't want to cancel. Because I was like, I can manage. Like, we'll go to a bar. Like, I'll drink some coffee. We'll have some beer. It's gonna be fun. Because I don't want to. I hate canceling in the last minute. Because somebody fucking, you know, they gave you their night. So
yeah, rally.
Exactly. So I picked her up and I told her, listen, I'm a little bit tired, but it's all good. We're gonna get to Rehovot. Classy guy. We're gonna get to Rehovot. I picked her up from Gdera, and I was like, we go to Rehovot. We get to a bar. I'll drink some coffee. I'll have some beer. It's gonna be fine. Don't worry about it. I'm just a little bit tired, but don't like al tidbasiala. You know what I mean? Just don't. It's gonna be fine. And then she started going like, oh, you're tired? Oh, poor you. Oh. And at the beginning, because I'm a comedian, I was like, you know, I'm trying to, and she wouldn't let it go. She was like, if you're tired, why did you came? Like, you're not doing me a favor, blah, blah, blah. And then I started to realize that she actually, like, she's mad about me.
Whoa.
And I didn't want to cancel. I'm trying to be respectful, but she was pushing it. So I just turned around and drop her back at her house. I was like,
you didn't
bye.
Even make it to the bar.
No.
Oh, what was her reaction? Around.
She was shocked. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm getting you back home. She was like, why? I was like, because you're disrespectful and I'm tired. And I felt like, you know, soldier through, but you're not worth it. So bye. Have a great night. And
I'm getting frecha vibes.
Best
from
decision.
Her.
Best decision. She was very frecha.
There we go.
Best decision of my life.
It
really.
Is kind of a dopamine rush when you. Yeah. Say no to things that don't serve you and get out of situations.
It's addictive.
It is.
It's addictive.
It is. Sometimes I want to walk out on a good day and just be like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's true.
I need another drink and I'm
it's
out.
It's very addictive when you say no. People invite you to stuff and you're like, I don't want to come. Why? Because I hate everything about it.
Yeah.
And it's very addictive. That's true. That's what happened after you're 30. You get addicted to staying at home.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you already answered this, but I was going to ask you, what's your biggest piece of advice to new olot who are looking into dating in Israel? But I feel like you already answered, maybe, or maybe not.
Yeah, I think that al tiyeh frayerit. Don't be a sucker. Incredible. There are a lot of
We're all things. Suckers when we move here.
It's true.
I admit, I was there. One.
Yeah.
Maybe still am.
It happens, but I think you learn to understand and observe a little bit more. Just be a little bit more observant. If an Israeli guy seems too good to be true,
he is too good to be true.
Kapara sheli, right?
99% of the time.
And also, if an invitation to meet his family right away, or to go to Shabbat dinner right away, or to get super serious right away, Israeli guys come on strong from the beginning.
That's true.
And they do that to a lot of people, particularly to Americans.
Yeah.
And I think that you have a teardropper of skepticism. Don't go into being all the Israeli guys suck. That's not what I'm saying. But just don't be a sucker. I fell for a guy's line who told me that he had a scar on his lower abdomen, and he told me that it was from Lebanon, and he got hit with shrapnel. He got his fucking appendix out, and it worked. And we can all imagine how I ended up seeing the scar.
I already knew where that is going.
Yeah,
me and Shachar knew exactly where this is going.
And I was like, wait a minute, what? Hang on. And it turns out he was probably like a fucking jobnik. It wasn't in Lebanon at all. the closest north he got was like, I don't know, Ramat Gan.
Skiing the Hermon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
yeah, just don't be a sucker.
So Matan, what's your biggest piece of advice coming from experience for an Israeli guy who's looking to date an American girl?
That's a good question. I think just like treat her the same way you would treat any other girl you're dating, but just it's like don't expect that because she's new here or whatever you can say all that bullshit because it's not fair. You just try to put yourself in her shoes. Like you don't want to be in New York and date someone who's full of shit and you have no idea what is right or what is wrong and you're just rolling with it. It's not fair. So put yourself in her shoes and just do whatever you do to Israeli girls like respectfully and enjoy the appreciation.
There you go.
Enjoy the appreciation.
There you go.
I actually asked my Instagram audience recently what's the biggest difference, and a lot of them said particularly that Israeli guys come on sexually really soon. And I have a feeling that that has to do with a lot of things. Unfortunately, there's a reputation for foreign women and we all know that. But also, if I'm allowed to say this, I think I am. I think.
Go ahead.
I think it happens because they watch a lot of porn with American girls in it. This is my theory, Matan. I don't know. Can I don't you confirm? Know. But I think this might also lead to them thinking like, oh, let's go. Like, I don't know.
I think it's a combination. I don't think the porn thing is a big thing. I really don't. I think just the fact that Birthright and all
yeah.
those.
Birthright. Yeah.
They come here for a vacation, obviously. Whatever happens in a vacation, stay in a vacation. And for Israeli guys, it's like, oh, American girls are very easy. But it's yeah. not true. It's not always true, especially if you're looking for something serious. But I think it comes from that they're like, oh, she's American. Oh, she's probably going to give it yeah. away very fast, which is, again, that's why I was saying, treat her like you would treat an Israeli girl. It's not different. If she's American, it doesn't mean she will sleep with you faster. It's not. It's just, it's dangerous and disrespectful to assume that.
Amen. Yeah, I think that's very true. Yeah.
See, I have an actual experience.
That's why I asked you the question.
Sometimes American girls get very surprised that I'm not coming on too strong on the sex thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you're so respectful. I was like, no, that's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. Don't like
good guy Matan.
No, because I feel like if they dated Israeli guys before, they yeah. were looking for the whole like second date is like at my place, you mm-hmm. know, or even the first one oh, sometimes. Yeah. And I'm trying to beat the the statistics. I'm yeah. trying.
Again, ladies, act like you've been there before. Act like you've experienced that before. Yeah. And if it is a new experience, that's fine. Just keep it internal. Keep it,
exactly.
And you ask know? The question that really like, terrifies every Israeli guy. Ask it. Ask it like, what are you looking for?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
That you terrifies like when girls have
hot
us. I love it.
That's because, a hot take. That's a hot
I
take.
I love it because that make you like they put them in their place. Because they feel like, oh, it's an American girl. We're probably going to mm-hmm. sleep together in like 20 minutes. And when you go and ask, what are you looking for? Because I'm not looking for, you know, bullshit. Immediately, everything is diffused. Immediately, either he'll be like, listen, I'm looking for something serious. Or like, oh, thank you. No. You know? Yeah. But either way, he feels a liar is going to lie.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't it put more pressure on you?
But I think 80% of bad dates could be eliminated before the date. You just ask. Listen, like, I'll pick you up and whatever. You're like, listen, what are you looking for? Because I don't want to waste my time. And yeah. and if a guy is not serious, he will vanish, which is awesome for you, right? If you're looking for something serious. If you're looking to screwing around, that's go right. ahead. Go crazy. Yeah. Fine. You do you. Whatever makes you happy. But that question for Israelis coming from Americans or any other, like South African, Canadian, whatever, that question is really, oh, shit. That's a real date. That's not an American girl date. That's a real date. So.
Interesting. That's interesting to hear from the guy's perspective because I always advise whenever I'm talking about this on Kiss in Tel Aviv, I say you should be able to tell. But maybe not.
But if you don't.
Maybe that is yeah. a new way to look at it.
Yeah, because if you're looking just like screwing around and having fun, go ahead, go crazy. But if you're trying to have something serious or you don't want him to think that you're a slut, obviously, whatever, like for me, it's asking, like, what are you looking for? Hmm. I had something like, I thought it was going to be like a fling. And then the girl asked me like, so what are you looking for? I was like, oh, this is serious. Okay, now good to know. Yeah. So I know how to behave. So that's very important.
I'm learning stuff on this podcast. I need you to be my new dating coach. Come on, seriously.
No problem.
Spin off.
Okay, Margo, I want to talk about the Tomer thing again because you really like took off from that and you weren't Kan 11 or with 13 for all of that. It took off. You know, you coined the term Tomer. And then we did also, Olim and TLV did the video with Find a Tomer. Summer game that also blew up. But you coined the term Tomer. And I want to ask you this question. So Tomer was the most popular baby name in the early 2000s. Now it's not even top 10. How much credit do you take for this?
Is that an actual statistic?
It's an actual stat.
Stop. All of it. I'm sorry.
It nosedived. The name Tomer nosedived in the last 2 years.
You have to understand something. No disrespect to Margo in any way. But like it's a thing in Tel Aviv. And that's what? It.
Oh, the Tomer thing?
Tomer thing. It's a thing in Tel Aviv and for American girls. Specifically,
Aval.
Israelis don't know about
that. That's not true. My Israeli guy coworker comes up to me. He's like, I'm not like the other Tomers. I'm like,
yeah, because
he
saw it on your page.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have Instagram.
He saw it on your page. Or
they talk about it.
Listen.
It made national news.
I have Israeli friends. Shachar, have you heard about it before? Again, with... Okay.
Ken.
So, exactly. But any other way, like ask any Israeli dude, they have no idea that Ketomer is a thing. I know it because of you, because of her. But like, I don't, outside of it, it's not really like a thing.
It's a thing, Kapara. It's a fucking thing.
I got a DM from a guy in New York who was like, saw like someone wearing a Tomer like thing sticker. It's a thing in New York, even. Like,
no, for Americans, it's a big thing. I'm not like disrespecting anyone. It's a big thing. Anybody knows that. I knows about it. And Israeli, like, you know, Israeli guys who are into like American pop culture and American girls, 100% know about it. But Israeli guys like my brothers, I had no idea what I was talking about. No idea. But again, it all depends on how you connect to the American culture.
Yeah, and also to Tel Aviv, too.
Exactly. And which is the hub of the American culture.
That's where it's going to matter. Yeah. That's where it should fucking matter.
100%.
Wait, so how much credit do you take for the...
I'll take it all if we need to. I always thought like these dudes were going to start a coalition and like sue me or something. If I could trademark it, I would, but that's going to be problematic.
You burn. I just, so you know, a lot of my friends now that are on dating apps, when they're swiping, they see a Tomer, automatic left.
That's
you
the thing.
That
and
you
I
did that.
I want to say something about that because women come up to me all the time. I see a Tomer and I don't swipe. And I'm like, listen. Lo kol tomer hu tomer, aval kol tomer hu rak tomer. So it's not necessarily, he could be a good tomer. You know what I mean?
That makes sense, actually.
You know, and it just because his name is Tomer, just, I feel bad for these dudes. Well, I don't feel that bad, but they're getting swiped left on because of it. But swipe on the tomers, but just know what
you've
done.
Proceed with caution.
Yes,
proceed with caution.
Alti freirit, like I said.
So Tomer season is coming up. Oh. How do you recommend steering clear of these encounters with these
Tomer
Israeli
season?
Guys?
What is Tomer
season? Tomer season.
Tomer season.
Goes hand in hand with knee drop season. You know what the knee drop is?
Oh, summer.
Yeah.
Summer. Okay. Summer. Tomer season. Okay. Just like jellyfish. Tomer season is coming up.
That's the yellow trolls.
Just pee on yourself. That's one way to avoid both Tomer and...
Pee on Tomer. That's
you might like that though. Okay, here's the thing. If you genuinely, here's a lesson that we need to take from Israeli women. If you genuinely are getting approached by someone and you don't want him to start with you, you're just not feeling it. It is what it is. Assert your boundary. Do not say, sorry, I don't speak Hebrew. That is basically open season and you've just invited him to follow
it's
you down
so
the Rothschild for the next mea meter or whatever it is. Just say, lo, slicha, ani lo beinyan.
Wow.
Oh, biggest, yes. Amazing
advice. If he hears you talking amazing. English, you have just bought yourself another 20 minutes of him.
It's so true.
If you're not into it, just do what the Israeli girls do. Lo, toda.
Yeah.
You don't have
not
to be
even
a...
Toda, just lo.
You need to appreciate the power of rejection in Hebrew.
Exactly.
You need
and
to
sometimes
appreciate.
All you need to do, if you don't speak Hebrew, just do the...
Yeah, that's true.
And that's it.
That's it.
Guys don't like when I say that because like, don't be a bitch. I'm like,
no.
If you're pushing my boundaries, that's you're true. Actually being an asshole, and I have every right to tell you to go away.
Yeah.
So,
I think the problem is like you can approach someone; it's fine, whatever. It's a free country, but you should understand when somebody says no, lo, bevakasha, stop, fucking stop.
Yeah.
Like stop. You're making all of us look worse. And it's not fair because that girl had like an awful experience. And then when a good guy tried to like, hey, how are you? She will immediately go, lo toda.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame her.
I do it a lot. I'm sorry because sometimes I'm just.
Yeah.
And
you were spot on with that piece of advice because I have a lot of my friends who keep complaining about how creepy Israeli guys are and how they follow them. I'm like, don't be so American. You're like,
okay.
They secretly like it. I kind of have a hypothesis, though. They complain, but they secretly like it.
Well,
the attention. Like,
let's not let the men know that, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I take this. But I will say, okay, you have to think of it. Think of it when you're back in the mall, wherever you're from, and you stop and the guy asks you a Dead Sea product and you say, yeah, sure. And then next thing you know, you've just bought $350 worth of fucking Dead Sea products because he told you he liked your nails. You know, you have to treat them like you would if you were at the mall and some guy was trying to sell you hand lotion for a beautiful skin, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just say no. Agreed.
So I feel like another thing you kind of termed is the spontaneous, So I want you to tell our audience, what does it really mean when an Israeli guy asks you, are you spontaneous?
Sure. So, at spontanit, Are you feeling spontaneous? I usually think, Matan, maybe you can confirm. It's kind of a way, it's a lazy way of getting to hang out with you without actually having to plan a date. And it makes it sound like it's going to be this, oh, you're feeling spontaneous? And it's usually a boring offer, like a beer at a place.
80% of the time, yes. I agree. And 80% of the time, I agree.
And there are some times when you will know, and I can't tell you what, you'll just know instinctively when a feeling spontaneous is actually worth being spontaneous.
Yeah.
But usually I would say, no, I'm not feeling spontaneous, because I personally, and guys, if you send that text, you have to understand, as girls, we like to put time and effort into ourselves. We like to prepare for dates. Mm-hmm. And when you ask us if we're feeling spontaneous, it doesn't give us any time to get ourselves to that date mode, whether it's get our hair done, our makeup done, put on an outfit, all of that stuff. It's kind of just disrespectful of our time. And it sets the tone that you might not be respectful of my time moving forward. So I just think that feeling spontaneous is an easy way to see if you want to come over to his meal pisset.
80% of the time, yeah. It's true. 100%, yeah, really. 80% of the time, it's true. There's 20% that sometimes you really have like something really cool planned and you want to have a good time and you're like, what are you doing tonight? Let's do this. Because I had it planned already. But whatever, something happened and I want you to hang out with me. So that's 20% of the time. I'm not even going to give it 25. It's 20%, and I'm being generous. But the, yeah, 80, 85% of the times, it's usually just, so you want to come hang out with us, which is okay if you're just friends. But if you want to take her to a date, you know, you should do a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
and speaking about being, you know, appreciative to the time, they take, same goes the other way. Like if a guy set up a time, be respectful over that time. Like, don't be like, oh, I'm American. A lot of times you're like, oh, I got confused for an hour and a half. Like, come on, it's Israel, not fucking, you know, Indonesia. It's fucking hour and a half. It's way too long. So be respectful. But yeah, I agree.
Also, I think if you've been on a couple dates with the guy or the girl or whoever you're dating, it's okay by the third, fourth time you hang out to do the spontaneous thing. If you're in the guy's neighborhood or he's around you, hey, I'm out with my friends. You're feeling spontaneous. Feeling spontaneous, let me know what's going to follow that. Feeling spontaneous, I'm going to take you out to dinner because I'm in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Feeling spontaneous, I'm going to take you bungee jumping on a private jet, you know? So it's just.
But after a few times, you already have like a proper date. Then you can be like, hey, listen, I mean, you want to have some coffee?
Exactly.
That's awesome. That's very sweet. Yes. But after a few times, you've proven that you respect her time and her boundaries, which is 100%
agree. Never the first meeting should be.
Never the first meeting. That shows disrespect. Agreed. And yeah, I agree.
Agreed. So last kind of dating question for today. Do you think Tel Aviv is haunted? And what's your biggest takeaway for when you get ghosted, if you got ghosted, and seeing those people on the streets?
Okay. This is very apropos to what's happening in the world right now. I think Tel Aviv is haunted, and this is why I don't believe in ghosting. The only time you should ghost is if you know that both
of you actually died.
Is if you actually, rest in peace. Or if you both know you had a miserable time on the date.
If you both know.
And you know like you know.
Yeah.
But you got to take, and she's also ghosted us, Kate Middleton. You got to take the Kate Middleton approach. If you see someone in public who has ghosted you, you do this. Hi, how's it going? Nice to see you. And you're kind of like, who are you again? You're showing me your macaroni art at the opening of a community center. Hi. Oh, yeah. You take the Kate Middleton approach gracefully. Hello. Hi. And that's it. And move on.
Yeah.
And she's ghosted us too. So I feel like
it's Tel Aviv is haunted, you think?
I think it's haunted. I think it's haunted with ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends, ghosters. Yeah. And then it also is full of zombies that will just rise from the dead.
It's so true.
And pop up out of nowhere. And it's usually around the Chagim, around, we got Purim coming up, we got Pesach coming up. But the biggest time the zombies rise from the dead is Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, like, hey.
And wartime.
Forgive me for my sins.
And wartime.
And wartime.
Wartime.
Yeah. Yeah. That will give an exception too. Yeah. Listen, Tomer, you do what you got to do. If you're fighting Hamas, Tomer all you want, you know? For sure.
So true. Okay. On to this part of the podcast, the hot takes discussion.
Yes.
So we're going to start off with one that we actually did with Aylon Levy last week, but he didn't get it, and you'll definitely get it. So the first one is good vibes only isn't so bad.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's the live, laugh, love of...
It's so true.
Of douchebags. Of,
yes.
Of douchebags.
Good vibes only means I will not want you to hold me accountable for any of my bad behavior.
That's true.
Good vibes only, no drama. It just means I'm going to act however I want to act. And the second that you call me out or whatever, I'm going to... that's not good vibes, I'm out. Sorry. Yeah.
It's like, so
and I've heard, though, that women have it in their profile, too. A lot of guys have told me that ladies have good vibes only in their profiles. The gays have it, the girls.
I would never date. I would never date anyone.
Automatic swipe left. Good vibes only.
Like, really? Yeah. That's just everything so I hate in human beings.
Is good vibes only.
I don't know. I make mistakes sometimes. Fuck you.
Yeah. It's never good vibes only either. Life is ups and downs. Yeah. Like, what are you? This toxic positivity? Fuck that shit.
Exactly.
Agree. Be negative. Agreed. Fuck astrology.
Yes. Yes.
Just kidding. I didn't say that.
Yes. Usually the same girls like a good vibes.
What's your star sign, Leo?
He's a fucking Leo. Yeah. I remember.
I get Leo vibes from you. I knew it was going to piss him off.
You,
because, I don't even know what a Leo is.
Come on. That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
And dudes will play fantasy football, but astrology is fucking stupid. Yeah.
I was religious. I was religious for 27 years. Like, believed in everything. But astrology, that's got to be the stupidest
thing. I feel like we're back
thing.
On our first date again.
Wait, guys, today...
Are you paying for this?
Today on Confession...
Mentally.
Yeah.
Today on Confession, someone submitted... a guy submitted that he confessed that he pretended to be a Leo on a date, so the girl would think they were astrologically compatible.
Wow.
What do you have to say about that? It's kind of brilliant. See? Honestly, kind of
It's
smart.
Not brilliant because it's easy to detect it. Like, you would never remember the date, the fake date. You had a birthday. Yeah. You would never.
Especially one time I got caught in college underage trying to go to a bar and they were like, what's your sign? And this was before I was into astrology. And I was like, fuck. And they got the fake ID taken away and I got clocked for that. But yeah.
I think it's kind of like a weird like woke racism. That's what it is. Because I
astrology?
Have, yeah.
What?
Yeah, because I have no control or about like when I was birth. I was never a part of it. Like that's who I am. Like it's like hating Jews. Here, I said
it. Oh wow.
I said it.
Astrology is anti-Semitism.
I didn't choose to be born a Jew. You choose it? You chose it? You chose it? No. Have you chose your sign when you were born?
I was born to be a Virgo.
Yeah. Not really, but you were just born in that specific month. And then people will go around and say, no, that's a bad sign. Fuck you. I didn't choose it. That's how I was born. That's racism, 100%.
Astrology is a new racism,
yeah.
Folks.
Yeah.
Astrology is a new
It's white people racism. That's what it is.
It's.
I'm a Leo. Yeah. That's my sign. What does it mean? Fucking jack shit. That's what it means.
Margo, tell us, what are Leo characteristics
Listen,
and traits?
I think
Let's see if Matan falls underneath them.
I think Leos are great. Yeah. I think that they're fiery, clearly.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes Leos, it sucks for them because their birthdays sometimes fall on Tisha B'Av. So, you know, that can kind of be a hard time of the year.
Yeah, sometimes.
But Leos are loyal and grand and golden.
Don't
at their
butter
best.
Me
I'm,
up.
I'm,
no.
Trust People- me, I won't. I tried already. It didn't work. I tried in 2020.
Yeah. I love it, but people trying to make you believe in astrology, they say only good things about your sign.
No, I think Leos can also be fucking assholes.
They
go to the maniac.
They say good things, and then when you're like, okay, there's something there, like, oh, that, and also you're a douchebag and an egomaniac and a narcissist, and like, come on.
We all are, though.
It's true.
I mean, we have fucking podcasts, like,
exactly.
We all have a little Leo. Also, I think it's funny, though. Let me just. Not to you particularly, Matan, but guys be like, astrology's fake bullshit. And then they'll like jerk off to porn as if that's not the fakest shit ever. Or like fantasy football. And then like, I just like,
that's the difference.
Stars.
We acknowledge that it's fake. That's the thing.
It's
whenever you ask a guy about fantasy football, porn, whatever, we all know it's fake.
I don't know if all of
it
you.
It gives us
you
pleasure.
Not everyone. Not everyone.
You know it's fake.
Listen, we all know it's fake. Nobody will say, fake? Nope. nobody will look at, no guy on earth will look at porn and say like, oh, that's how you deliver mail.
Oh,
no,
trust me, nobody. They do, because I've had it happen.
No.
We all know what it's like to hook up with a guy who watches too much porn because he thinks
it's too much. It's, yeah, if you're too much into astrology, that will fuck up your life. 100%. You don't have to be too much into anything, if not your career. That's it.
Last thing I'll say about astrology, it's not my belief system. It's just something that I enjoy. It's like knowing if it's going to rain, I'll take an umbrella. I don't use it to predict the future. I'm like, I keep it kosher. Okay. I just want to say it's just a nice tool to help me understand
what's your
certain things. I'm a Virgo.
Are Virgos and Leos compatible?
Apparently not.
No. Doesn't really matter. My sister's
next,
a Virgo.
Next,
doesn't really.
Okay. So that's a hot take. Good vibes only isn't so bad. Hot take. Yep.
That's a bad take. Bad take. But it's a take nonetheless.
Okay. This one is one of the biggest hot takes I've seen. Coffee in the U.S. is better than coffee in Israel.
Depends for who. For Americans, I think they will like the coffee in America more. But for Israelis, American coffee is garbage. Garbage. Like, really. Like, we suffer. When we're in the States,
you don't like Starbucks?
We fucking suffer. Starbucks is like Golda for us. It's an ice cream shop. There's no coffee is like sometimes happen, but it's not a coffee shop. For us, Starbucks is a garbage place.
There's a lot of things that I think are way worse and better here. Coffee, to me, I'm neutral on, but I will say it's funny to me how Israelis drink Ness, and that's the kind of stuff we send in like aid packages to, well, that's hot topic now. But like, that's the kind of shit that you send to developing countries who don't have enough food. It's like freeze-dried coffee. I can't get behind the Ness, but the rest of it, I'm neutral. I think, yeah.
I think it's like it's a coffee thing in America is so overdeveloped that it lost the touch with coffee, with actual coffee. You know, so for Israelis, we that's why Starbucks didn't make it here. Because
you're right.
I feel like if it opened today, though, like the Shake Shack and the 7-Eleven of it all, I think it might have a moment.
7-Eleven, it's a different thing.
That'll be a whole other
episode. Israeli.
We'll do a follow-up episode.
No Israeli will drink coffee in a 7-Eleven, don't get me wrong. But we will buy some candies and shit. Yeah, sure. It's nice. A naknikia belachmania, why not? You know what I mean?
But the only authentic 7-Eleven experience is if you go in, you buy a pack of cigarettes, you get a Slurpee or a Red Bull, and you do a real white trash, and then on your way out, some fucking meth addict asks you for money. I mean, it's not the authentic.
That could happen in Tel Aviv.
It could. It's these days. It could.
It's true. It might be able to happen.
Especially
the one on
full experience.
The one on
on the corner. Yes.
Yeah. Under the Poly House.
My favorite one.
Okay. People who have separate foodie accounts are the biggest red flag.
Separate foodie account?
Like they have a separate food account on Instagram where they post recipes and food videos and all that.
That's their job.
Separate. Why?
I think it's a little cringe if it's for their dog, but it's not a red flag.
That's
it's
true.
People do that for their dog?
Yes.
It was very millennial core. Like, we're 35, okay? So, yeah. Like, every millennial had a fucking Instagram account for their dog.
Okay.
I think that's cringe. I don't know if it's a red flag. Okay. It's maybe a potential ick.
I think that's important.
But not the food account. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's important to separate.
Okay.
You have Olim in TLV. Are you a red flag?
If you ask some people, yes.
Okay.
Some people.
I know. That's another thing. I mean, it's interesting to think about how the stuff we do and the stuff we talk about impacts our dating life. Yeah. Like, there's no 100%. Going back at this point, you know?
100%.
That's true. So, I mean, an offline guy. Well, I don't know. Whatever. We'll see.
Okay. Israeli spicy food isn't spicy at all. Agreed.
Depends. Again, depends.
No, nachon. I mean,
it's not spicy. It is.
You
get the spiciest
thing. You haven't eaten a spicy food in Israel if you say that.
Matan, we went to Thai food. You were literally freaking out over the least spiciest thing. I think it's just like Israeli American taste buds.
Listen. If you think for a second, girly, that you have like a higher sense of like spice.
I am from Texas. It's,
oh no. Have you eaten a true like proper Moroccan food in your life?
Not Moroccan, so no.
So exactly. So you know, you have no idea what is spicy
Moroccan?
Food. Yeah.
Invite me to Shabbat dinner.
100%.
But it doesn't mean he's into you if he invites you to Shabbat dinner.
As siblings.
We've established that. I like all things Yemenite, including the food. So I will say I like the spice. Give me that schok, baby.
Yeah. Yemenite audience.
Hey, slide in.
Oh man. Okay, last one. The shuk is a worse deal than most supermarkets. Everyone thinks the shuk is super cheap.
No idea. You go. I don't know.
No nachon. No, I got my fish guy. I got my salatim guy. I got my challah guy. No.
And they're cheaper than supermarkets?
Fuck yeah. Okay. I go to the supermarket during the week when I need to make girl dinner. And I go to Ampam and I buy one fucking single cucumber.
For 10 shekels.
And my little vegan, I'm not a vegan, but I love like the vegan chicken nuggets. They slay. Pop that shit in the air fryer. And yeah, it's easier than ordering Wolt, but yeah. So I have a hot take that I need to share with you guys.
Yes, let's go.
All right. Let's clip this up and make it a motherfucking moment. All right.
Let's do it.
Listen to me right now. Thursday night, because of the Dankal, the Rekevet, the light rail, Thursday night in Tel Aviv is over. It's done. It's bridge and tunnel. If you're from New York, you know what I'm talking about. It's all, no self-respecting Tel Avivian should be out on Rothschild Boulevard on Thursday night. It is no longer the night when actual authentic Tel Avivians should go out.
Wednesday nights.
It's bridge and tunnel.
Really?
Wednesday nights are the new nights out.
It's everybody from Petah Tikva and Rishon and everywhere. Oh. They're coming. It's like fake Balenciaga t-shirts as far as the eye can see. It's like a Shein fashion show. And I just can't deal with it anymore.
Wednesday nights are the new nights going out.
Yes. And I won't That's share it. Yeah.
It's, you don't go out.
And you know how you can tell? Because there's always ladies running around in high heels.
Yep.
Oh, that's the number one way you can tell if someone is not from here.
I get what you're saying. I think like really Thursday nights are not really for people that live in Tel Aviv.
Not anymore.
It's for outsiders.
It used to be Friday night, but now it's Thursday night because of the light rail. And
That's good to know. It's over. So it's Wednesday night, that's the, if you want to hang.
Abrax is Wednesdays, remember? I always tell you.
That's true. There you go. That's true.
Yep. Although, if I'm lit enough, Kuliyama... You on love Thursday Kuliyama. Night. I do. That's another hot take.
That's a hot take. That's a hot take.
Gotta be said.
I don't know. I don't really go out, so I don't know.
Yeah. Hot take.
Not at all.
Not really. Like, I have my shows that I do, and it feels like going out.
Yeah.
At a point. And I perform at Stand Up Factory, which is 23rd.
The 23rd. Will you be there?
Yeah, please.
Shameless plug. Yeah, let's go
this weekend.
Emma is coming. She's performing.
Oh, shout out Emma.
So please come with. Yeah, we'll sit in the green room. It's gonna be awesome.
Okay,
it's gonna be
cool.
Awesome. I'll have more moments of ruach.
Okay.
So to make up for today.
I just thought it was because we were. It was.
Oh no, not at all.
I was like, fuck, man. I really.
not at all. It would be funnier, but not at all. I have a lot of stuff going on, but next Saturday night, right? It's this Saturday night.
This Saturday night. We're going to Purim Motsash. Party. Oli and Tilly Purim Party, Motsash. Then drunk thereafter.
Fuck, it's Purim.
But we show up drunk. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
Guys.
And then you can drink more in Stand Up Factory.
There you go.
On me.
After I hear the Megillah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Guys, group hug after. This has been
of course, no problem.
Very, very cute dynamic.
I try.
So that's it. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
That's it? We're done?
Yeah, I know. Oh, sad. Yeah.
That was very fast.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like our day.
Oh, no. No, Maton. Too far.
That's good.
Too far.
Check it out. Let's go.
Tune in. Spotify, Apple Play, Google Play, all that fun stuff.
Listen to Kiss in Tel Aviv, too.
Yeah, Margot's podcast, Audio Tale, Instagram page, TikTok page. Guys, see you later.
See you later.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course.
Bye.
עוד יותר, יוצרי התוכן של ישראל. הוקלט באולפני אודיו, המשווקת את ספוטיפיי בישראל.